Welcome back to another edition of This Week on Channel 9. I'm your host, Christina Warren, and I have to be honest, I'm a little disappointed that I didn't get more geek shirt recommendations in the comments last week. So if you have shirts you think I should buy, even if it's just for your startup or company, let me know in the show notes. Also, a quick programming note. Next week, we will likely not have a show because I'll be doing lots of work stuff and flying out for a conference. I will miss you all. All right, let's get into this week's dev news. First up, the Imagine Cup was this week, and the projects that students came up with were truly mind-blowing. I'll have a link in the show notes to all the winners and nominees, but the 2018 Imagine Cup champions are SmartArm of Canada. Now, SmartArm created a robotic hand prosthetic using Microsoft Azure Computer Vision, machine learning, and cloud storage, and it uses a camera embedded in its palm to recognize objects and then calculate the most appropriate grip for an object. It's seriously, seriously cool, and it makes me feel both inferior on every single level and also so excited for the future. As I said, check out the show notes to links to the winning projects and all the finalists. Congrats, SmartArm. Next up, in Visual Studio Code news, Visual Studio IntelliCode has expanded its AI-assisted coding to the Python language via a new Visual Studio Code extension. IntelliCode was first announced at Build 2018, and it now has the power, that technology has been expanded using machine learning to train the extension on over 2,000 open source Python repos. So when writing Python code, the IntelliSense code completion speeds up your productivity by providing suggestions as you type, and you've got to try it out because it's very cool. And the extension was built on top of the Microsoft Python language server, which is now in preview, and a link to the blog post, which explains all the details, and to the extension are in the show notes. In serverless news, my friend and fellow CDA, Jeremy Lickness, has released a free ebook at docs.microsoft.com called Serverless Apps, Architecture Patterns, and Azure Implementation. And the guide is a great getting started point for anyone who is looking at developing cloud-native apps that use serverless, and it covers the pros and cons of deploying serverless apps, depending on your scenario. Anyway, it's a terrific read, and you can download a PDF or view it on the web, and a link is in the show notes. On Channel 9 this week, we had lots of great content, including the latest episode of The Open Source Show, which features my friend and fellow CDA, Bridget Kromhout, and Justin Garrison, who is the co-author of Cloud Native Infrastructure. And they basically get into how to get started with cloud native infrastructure, so check that out. Also on Channel 9, on the latest episode of Five Things, John Papa and Brian Clark discuss five things about NLP, or natural language processing. And if you're interested in building apps for voice platforms like Siri or Alexa and Cortana or Google Home, you'll want to check it out. And speaking of John Papa, he was recently on the .NET Rocks podcast talking about Node and Azure. Links to all the videos and podcasts are in the show notes. In Blazor news, Blazor 0.5.0 experimental release is now available. Now, if you're not familiar, Blazor is a single-page web app framework that basically lets developers run .NET code in the browser using WebAssembly. And WebAssembly, as we know, is totally the new hotness. So there's a lot of new stuff in this release, but remember, it is experimental, and it includes the option to run Blazor on the server and then handle all the UI interactions over a SignalR connection. And there's some very early browser debug support. Check out the show notes for the very in-depth blog post about this release and how to get started. And there's even a prototype project that shows off how you can use Blazor with Electron for building desktop apps, which is just wild. In some Kubernetes news, Kubernetes is now available in the Docker Desktop Stable channel for Mac and Windows, offering a really easy way to get a Kubernetes cluster running on your desktop machine. And in even bigger K8 news, Google just announced Knative, which is being dubbed as a Kubernetes-based build platform to build, deploy, and manage modern serverless apps. And it's basically a set of middleware components that focus on solving some of the more mundane but difficult orchestration tasks. Now, this project is largely driven by Google, but because it's Kubernetes and open source, Knative has been designed to be cloud agnostic. And in fact, the Azure team submitted build instructions for installing Knative on Azure before the project was even formally announced. And that highlights exactly how open source should work with everyone working together. Links to the Azure instructions and the Knative pages on GitHub are in the comments. In some Java news, Azure App Service now supports Java SE on Linux in public preview. And this version supports Java SE 8-based apps, and this and subsequent time-released versions will be supported for an extended period, as well as upcoming LTS versions. And also in Java news, our friend Bruno Borges and Jonathan Giles both gave some presentations at DevOx Poland focusing on Java, and links to those talks are in the show notes. Last week on TWC9, I mentioned that Gabriel Nepomuceno, his excellent guide for receiving email on a custom domain for super cheap using Mailgun and Azure DNS. And this week, Gabriel added a second post to the series showing how easy it is to send mail using the same configuration. So thanks again for writing those posts, Gabriel. Really appreciate it. And now it's time for my pick of the week. Usually I try to choose a non-Microsoft pick for my pick of the week, but when I saw this item, I knew I had to highlight it. Accusations of corporate shield and be damned. A few months ago, we talked about the Xbox Adaptive Controller, which is designed for gamers with disabilities. And most of now the packaging of that controller has been released, and if possible, it's actually just as cool as the controller itself. Why? Because it was designed to be easy to open. In fact, you can even use your teeth to open the package. I love how much detail and care was put into this device, and I look forward to checking out the final controller when it ships in September. Well, that does it for me. Let me know your geek shirt suggestions in the comments. And also, if you're viewing this on YouTube, I've added a poll to the video, so if you wouldn't mind offering your feedback for the show, I would really appreciate it. And while you're there, be sure to like and subscribe for this show and all of our great developer content, and turn on post notifications if you are a masochist. See you next time. We'll be right back.